All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a blessing to be here with you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercies, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, help us to be faithful to you. We ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, as we open your words. Thank you again for all that you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. Well, that's a real blessing. Like Bill mentioned, counting our blessings. How good the Lord is to us. We can think of all the bad things, and there's usually always something we can be negative about, but whenever we begin to do that, that sets the whole mood of our attitude, our day, everything that we have is turned, twisted into that direction. It's so easy to fall into that direction. But a thankful heart, a thankful attitude, a thankful mind just turns everything the other way towards a positive light. It's so easy for us in our whole day to be guided by one thought. And that just multiplies, and then everything else just either gets darker and darker and darker, or lighter and lighter and lighter. And that's our choice, and that's why it's so important that we control our attitude. We have that choice to do that. We have the ability to control. It's like I've said many, many times before, that out of all the things in our life, the only thing we can control is our attitude. And God has given that will to us to do that. So what a blessing it is to yield ourselves to a good attitude and to thankfulness for the blessings that we have. I don't know how many times whenever we meet other people, you just see them and someone just smiles at you. And you might have just been kind of having a mediocre day, and then someone just gives you a smile or a real happy greeting, and just the whole thing just turns around. That's what we've just given the world a smile. You can change somebody else's day for that day, and it just spreads. And the same way with your gloom and bad attitude. You can just ruin somebody else's day right away. And so it's just important that we take care and guard those things. And we all do have a lot to be thankful for. Not just, you know, the things that we see around us or the blessings that are all around us, the beauty that's around us. I mean, God has forgiven us. We don't deserve any of all of it. I mean, none of it. We could just be living in a black and white gray world, and God's still good, and he's still been merciful to us, but he's shown fit to give us all these extra things on the side. So just want to remind ourselves about that. Have a happy heart, doeth good like a medicine. So I want to read in Wisdom of Sirach, chapter 26. We all can gain from this. I want to direct this to young people, a lot of it, but we all can gain from it. I mean, it says, happy is the husband of a good wife. You know, there's got quite a few young men, young boys coming up, growing up, and we've had several weddings, and it's just been a real blessing, but I want to just want you not to lose sight of you young men, just that happy is the husband of a good wife. And we'll read on there just a little bit, but I just want to try to instill that there's a lot of things we can see in the world of a woman, it's a wife, it's a potential wife or something, but happy is the husband of a good wife. You know, there's a lot of things that attract us and a lot of things that may appear good, but happy is the man of a good wife, or the husband of a good wife. We can just encourage that's what you ought to be shooting for. That's what you ought to be seeking, is a good wife, not just a beautiful one or one that just appeals to you in that way, but look for the goodness there. Then that's what you should be looking for. It says the number of his days will be doubled. A courageous wife makes her husband glad. Like I said, these are four. I want the young people to think about this, but as you look at this, you wives, look what it is that God wants from you. A courageous wife makes her husband glad, and his years will be full of peace. A good wife is a good portion, and she will be given the portion of those who fear the Lord. I don't know, it's hard to, you know, people separate the role of a man and a woman in Christianity, and we're all equal under the Lord. You know, you hear all of those things, and as a soul, yes, we are. Our souls are the same, but our responsibilities and our positions in this world are different. There is a difference between men and women, and their responsibilities are different. And I think whenever we learn to be a godly man and a godly woman, we are on the way to, like this one said, having our portion in those who fear the Lord. It's more than just what Jesus did for me, or it's more than how much I love Jesus. If we do not have that, if we are not in our correct place, we're out of order. You know, the boys talked about hypocrites and people that are hypocrites. And it may appear that you have everything in order, but if you're not in the position that you're supposed to be in, you're out of order. And that's what I just encourage us to remember, that being a disciple, being a Christian, is just being faithful in the place where God put you. If He's created you as a woman, be content and be happy and be in the place where you can be a supportive woman to your husband, or a supportive woman to your father and mother. Be a happy woman in the place that you're at and in the position that you're at, and be faithful and loyal to those things. That is pleasing to the Lord. You know, the Bible says that for the woman, in one place it says, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I mean, just, sometimes that's hard to think of, because, well, my husband's not like Jesus. He's not perfect. But it says for you to submit to your husband just like, understanding full well, knowing full well that whenever he wrote that, he was talking about a man that was a human being. But he still gave that comparison and said, submit yourselves as unto the Lord. And that's not saying this just to shame you or beat you up. I'm saying this to strive for that. I mean, just work towards that. That's what the Lord, that's what we have this time on earth to do. You know, if we do what we're supposed to on this earth, in eternity, there is no difference between man and woman. But each one who's fulfilled their duty to the best of their ability will be given more. Just like the disciple that took his Lord's money and made more with it. He used it. He applied it from the position. One was given 10, one was given 5, and one was given 1. The one that had the 1 said, oh, I'm afraid of the Lord, so I'm just going to go hide my talent. Well, the one that had the 10, he went out and used his Lord's money, and it was multiplied to him. And whenever the judgment came, he was given more. And that's our responsibility as a man and as a woman, is to take that responsibility and apply yourself to it. Give yourself to being that woman that is a support and a good wife. You know, we've said about these weddings, that these last few weddings, that what a blessing it was that the men, you know, they all think they got the best wife. And they did for them. And that's just such a blessing that don't forget that. And going back to the young men, your life can be a real blessing on the choices that you make concerning looking for a good wife. I want to read here in chapter 25 and verse 12. Any wound, but not the wound of the heart. Any evil, but not an evil wife. Any wound, but not the wound of a heart. You know, one of the things I want to talk about this morning is the wound of a heart. It says, any wound, but the wound of a heart. You know, we think of getting our fingers smashed, or getting a cut, or getting hurt, getting wounded, and that sounds horrible. But this says, any wound, but that of the heart. And what I want to encourage and just warn about is, you know, whenever you get your heart wounded, it's hard to recover from that. I mean, you don't have to listen to the world's music very long to hear about someone that's had their heart broken. And how many drunkards are there in the world that started because they got their heart broken and they're just trying to heal their own hearts? Just can't hardly live with the pain that they live with. It's a terrible thing. It's a hard thing. And as you're searching, the problem is whenever we're searching in the world or looking in the world, what you're doing is opening up your heart. You know, this dating around, or just finding a girl here and finding a girl there, just looking for one here and there. What you're doing is opening up your heart to wounds. And whenever you just find someone because she looks pretty, or somebody that's just funny, or just somebody you think you can get along with, or entertain yourself with, or whatever, you're opening your heart to wounds. And she breaks your heart. So you start looking for another one. And she breaks your heart. And pretty soon, your heart is not even where it's supposed to be. It's just wounded. And it's hard to see. Then you just begin to look at anybody that just won't break your heart. So just this casual dating, or just dating because you think you might like somebody, you're opening yourself up to heartbreak. And would you open yourself up to someone wielding a knife at you to wound you? Would you open yourself up to someone just shooting you a few times to wound you? You'd never do that. But your heart, any wound but the wound of a heart, it will damage you. You might think you can recover, but it will damage you. It's hard. Any evil, but not an evil wife. This is a miserable condition. This is a miserable state. Any misery, but not the misery of those who hate me. Any vengeance, but not the vengeance of enemies. There's no head worse than the head of a snake, and there's no anger worse than the anger of an enemy. And he says, I would rather live with a lion or a snake than with an evil wife. That's a pretty serious thing. And a lot of times we just looking out in the world, boys dating out in the world, you don't know what you're getting a lot of times. And it's just going to make it really, really hard. Happy is the husband that's got a good wife. And that's what you should hope for and strive for. I wish I would have known a lot of this stuff. I was just pretty well left to myself whenever this dating, or was encouraged just to go after the pretty one. I mean, that's what I heard growing up, not knowing anything any different. And it's you don't know what, I mean, you don't know what you're setting yourself up for sometimes, if just going that way. Our goal is to raise godly children. But if your wife's not with you, it's going to cause you a lot of problems. It might be fun and good for a while, but when your children begin to get older and begin to want the world, and you begin to protest those things, or you want to implement things like that, and your wife begins to sympathize with the children, you don't know what you're headed for. It's just going to be, it's hard. I know that in my own case, my wife would have been glad to have, or would have tolerated going along with me. But when the children began to get up old enough and began wanting the world, started crying for the things of the world, I was out the door. And what it does is began to, well, your dad won't let you do that. Well, we would go do this, but your dad won't let us. We would do this, but dad don't like that. And so then we began doing things behind dad's back and doing things that we know he wouldn't approve of. And the children know he wouldn't approve of it. But mom says it's okay, so it's fun for a while. But your children will soon hate you because you're trying to do what's right. There will have to be a time where we either have to stand and be strong and let your wife reject you sometimes, or you can go along with her and just become a little wet noodle and just let her rule your life. An evil wife changes her appearance and darkens her face like that of a bear. Her husband will go to his neighbors for meals, and he sighs bitterly and involuntarily. That's not a man. That's not a place that's easy to be a man. Any evil is small compared to the evil of a wife. May the portion of a sinner fall upon her. A sandy hill of ascent for the feet of an old man. Such is an overly talkative wife to a quiet husband. Do not fall for the beauty of a woman, and do not long for her beauty. There is wrath, insolence, and great shame. Well, I'll find a rich wife. And it says, there is wrath, insolence, and great shame when a wife supports her husband. A downcast heart, a sad face, and a wounded heart are caused by an evil wife. Drooping hands and weakened knees are caused by a wife who does not make her husband happy. Sin had its beginning from a wife, and because of her, we all die. Do not give water an outlet nor boldness to an evil wife. If she does not follow your good leadership, cut her off from yourself. I mean, we believe that when we unite ourselves, it's till death do us part. And I think he's bringing out here the hardness that can come. So I just want to encourage you young men and women to be careful. I mean, just dating around out there, looking for a pretty girl, looking for somebody that just is fun or whatever. You're playing with fire. And so, what would it matter to wait? If the Lord hadn't sent someone to you, don't force it. Don't just get married because it's time to get married, or just find a husband because, or a wife because it's, you think it's about time and you think you're ready. Just the few days that you're living now, waiting, are nothing compared to the length of the days there are with a in a miserable situation. It's not a very encouraging or fun little message, but it's one that's real, and I can attest to it. A lot of you were too young to remember a lot of the things, or don't know anything about them, but it is a miserable thing if you don't have a wife that's a good wife and that supports you, that's behind you. All right. Anyone have anything like to share?
Oh, I just thought of one thing that came to mind. The Apostle Paul said to be thankful in whatever state you're in. And there's a lot of blessings in whatever state you're in. And I just, I'm thankful for what I have with my family right now. And I was just as thankful before. For years, there's so many blessings and things that you can focus on and opportunities, you know, if you're just happy and thankful for what you have. And if you open your eyes, you'll see that there's a lot that you can do just even as a single man. And there's a lot of blessings to follow after and serve the Lord in, just without a wife, as much as there is with one. So just like to encourage anybody with that. Just open up your eyes. They're there.
And I appreciate what you said about smiling, just great people with smiling, you know, and just encouraging them. Just a little story quick from yesterday, or the day before. There was a big log truck on one side of the road, and I was parked on the other. There was a real narrow lot for people to get through. And this young lady driving this truck had to go about 5 mile an hour to get through. And she just smiled, you know, cheerfully, and went on her way. It's just such a blessing, you know. She could have, you know, give me a dark look for that. You know. Just encouraging. It's just, I thought, wow, this is a blessing. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't even thought of what trouble I was causing her. I thought, why'd she smell like that? Oh, I'm being a real problem.
Well, divorce and remarriage is, it's not a good thing. It's a sin, as Scripture tells us. And I can picture somebody marrying a woman who's kind of deep down or in the back of their mind, or when they're young, they don't even know it, you know, that they're going to get in their mid-30s maybe and say, you know what, I want to go look for something else now. And then you're looking at 40 years of being single. And looking for a wife is, I mean, if you got one shot at it, if there's one opportunity to pick a wife that's going to support you and stand with you your whole life through thick and thin, it's about as big of a decision as you can make in your life. And the world just programs people to marry for romance and for shallow things and not to stick it through. And I don't think when we're young we can recognize that so much. To marry somebody that is firmly embedded in marriages for life, I think that is of vital importance. It's a big decision to think about, to consider, isn't it, when you only get the one opportunity.
For the assignment, we are supposed to tell about a trait or characteristics that the Pharisees had and how to avoid that in our lives. I thought about how a lot of them, the things they were doing were right, but their motives were wrong. They're doing it out of selfishness or to elevate themselves. And that reminded me we need to be careful to check our motives when we're doing the right thing and just make sure we're doing it just because it's right and not just to make ourselves look better or elevate ourselves.
Jesus often called the Pharisees hypocrites. And like Micah said, they did everything right, and pretty much they looked real holy and everything, and they probably thought they were real holy, but they were doing a lot of things for themselves and for them to elevate their own positions. And I think we can try to avoid that just by trying to be ourselves and being honest with our flaws and trying to work on them.
I got a couple verses here in Matthew 14, 13 and 14. This is just after John the Baptist had been killed in prison. Now Jesus, when he had heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. Now when he went ashore, he saw the crowds and felt compassion on them and healed their sick. And that's a little like what David was saying last week. Jesus, he had compassion on the sick and those who needed help, instead of just shutting them out and and not being kind to them because they weren't maybe being right in all their whatever they're doing. And but Jesus had compassion on them and healed them. And even though he wanted to be by himself to mourn for his friend, he was just felt compassion on him. So for me, it's good to be helpful to those around in the community or whatever that are maybe not what we think they should be, but just help them and be there for them.
I got Matthew 23, verse 25 and 26. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but the inside are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the outside of the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. So we need to not only look good on the outside, but be good and righteous on the inside too.
Matthew 23, Pharisees say many things, but do not do them. Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what I teach you.
I did not get the assignment up just until now, but I think the Pharisees were kind of like some of these church groups that if you're not a part of them and don't, you know, follow their rules or exactly what they do, then you can't be a part of them. I think there's a lot of people out in the world that try to do what's right, you know, just by, you know, following the laws of the land and whatever, but may not necessarily do it exactly like how we would do it. And I don't think that it's right to, you know, kind of shun those people out because they're, you know, they're trying their best to do what's right. Maybe they just don't know exactly, you know, maybe the better way to do it.
Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone's doing well this morning. I don't have a lot this morning. I was just thinking of a few things, or thought I had throughout the week. I thought of a verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you through Christ Jesus. And I was just thinking about the things that I should be thankful for, and I didn't give a proper thanks to everyone for helping with the wedding last week, so I wanted to give that this morning. Thank y'all, I appreciate that. But I was just throughout the week just looking at all the pretty scenery down there around Branson that we were going through and noticing all the trees turning and all the beautiful sights and things that we had to do. And it was just amazing the things that God just let us have this, you know. I mean, to be thankful for that. And I thought of the song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. And I was just thinking about all the blessings and all the brothers that helped us throughout the weeks, these last few weeks that were pretty stressful for me. But all the preparations for the wedding, throughout the wedding, and it was just a real blessing to have to think of all the things to be thankful for. Like, there's a lot of guys my age that don't have a church group like this, don't have people to turn to when they need some help or someone there to with their hand out to help them up or whatever. And I mean, the brothers in the church, they just are there ready to help whenever you need it. And it's just a real blessing to see that and to be a part of it, because there's a lot of guys my age that are a lot worse off than I do. And to have parents that are just strong parents that I can just turn to and ask any question about anything, it's just a real blessing to think about that. And I've talked to some people that they, as soon as their children turn 18, they're kicked out of the house, just so you're on your own now. And it just is really amazing that, I mean, it's terrible to think about, but my parents didn't do that to me. I appreciate that them for that, because I don't think I was ready at 18. It's just, I know I wasn't, but I've been learning a lot here last few years, and I'm sure there's a lot more to learn, and I appreciate y'all there to just be there to help me learn and help me through it. It's just a real blessing to think about. That was what I've been thinking about throughout the week, just how good I've got it. It's just a real blessing. But that was all I had this morning. Thank y'all. Do y'all have any prayer requests? Where's that at again?
Haiti.
In Haiti, okay. The hostages in Haiti, pray for them. I guess Marcus's aren't here too. All right, let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for giving us another beautiful day today and the rain we got yesterday and the sun coming out and just all the many blessings that you give us. Just help us to do your will throughout the rest of the week. And we ask for the help in Haiti with the hostages. Just help the governments to know what to do with that situation and just help them to be strong. And we also ask for your protection on Marcus's and whoever else is traveling. Just be with them. And also ask for the message. Open our hearts to where we can listen to it and just help us do your will in your name. Amen.
Oh. Thank you.